Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Despite the volatility that we see in markets, the wild swings in the rand of late, and the continued depressing effects of Stage 6 load shedding, private equity fund Sanari Capital has announced a 475 million rand first close on its Sanari 3S growth fund, the Sanari 3SF as it's called. And I'm joined now by Samantha Pockroy of Sanari, the CEO and founder. Welcome, and chapeau on the milestone, Sam. I've been speaking to you for years now on various other platforms, so just remind my Cape Town listeners how you came to found Sanari.
Well, Michael, you are certainly right. It has been a while, and thank you for sharing our stories. We are a growth-focused fund. We are a private equity fund that focuses on the medium size and mid-market. And yes, we were founded some years ago, very much on the premise that there are opportunities irrespective of economic conditions, as you so aptly introduced us in this particular context that we find ourselves in. We are a fund that focuses on areas that are ultimately disconnected to some extent from the GDP growth of a particular market. And I'll be happy to take you through some of those investment themes that we pursue. But a lot of them obviously tie into this very much technologically advanced era that we find ourselves in.
And how would you define the fund's culture and Sanari's culture that you've built up over the years?
It's a great question, and it's something that we're actually extremely proud of. You know, we were founded very much out of a desire. I left very much corporate private equity on the basis that I believed there needed to be a bigger bridge, a better bridge between the entrepreneurs who ultimately are at the real foundation of our society and our economy, and institutional investments. So I came out of that. I benefited very much from having come from an entrepreneurial family myself, seen all of the trials and tribulations, frankly, of scaling a business. And that was really the basis on which we developed our Sanari 3S. So this is what the fund is named after. It's very much about building businesses that are sustainable, scalable, and ultimately saleable. And when we get to unpacking that, we'll obviously talk about the fact that the saleable, the third S, is one of the hardest ones for entrepreneurs to kind of come to grips with. But it really is almost a basis from which you depart, starting with the end in mind. What kind of organization do you want to build? Because there's a major difference between being an entrepreneur, building a lifestyle or business, or building a business to support your personal aspirations, as opposed to necessarily the intention to create external value. So when I say external value, I mean value that is not only tied up in your own personal self-worth, but in actual fact that you can, and this is the hard part for entrepreneurs, you can actually divorce yourself from your own business that you may have started and, you know, in some ways work on making yourself redundant because, and that's a hard one, but because it creates option value, creates value for everyone else in your organization, be it the shareholders, the employees, etc., because the organization is not dependent entirely on you. And that's really the foundation.
It's so interesting you mentioned that. I was chatting to Mitch Adams, the co-founder of Ozzo, recently, and he really puts his success down to the fact that he, as a founder, could let go. He had that rare ability to be able to say, right, I enjoyed building, I enjoyed creating. I didn't really enjoy setting up all the systems all that much, and I found it a lot easier than some of my other co-founders to call it a day when that time came. Now, this is your second fund, but the first, I believe, targeting institutional investors. Let's just talk about your first fund, how it's performed, and how much of that has been harvested, and have any of those investors now recycled capital back into the second fund?
Because our first fund was really focused on high net worth individuals, and this new fund will effectively be orders of magnitude of 10 times larger than our previous fund, the ability for those investors to kind of continue to invest in a meaningful way is rather limited. So we do still retain those relationships very much, particularly with some of the larger family offices and whatnot. And there is always the potential that we may be able to pull some of that capital back into the Sonari 3S fund. However, it is not currently anticipated that that will be the case. So all of our new investors are institutions, they are pension funds, they come with larger check sizes and different styles of investing. But the investment strategy actually remains very much the same. So where we have expanded our investment strategy is very much around almost the continuation of our strategy. So we have a strategy that's very focused on building. So whilst our previous fund was a smaller size, it really started the foundation. So for example, one of our investments in the Sonari 3S Growth Fund is a company called EduLife Group. It's the largest independent school group in the Free State. It is also now beginning expansion into other provinces. Now, the interesting thing was we did our initial investment from the previous fund, which was a Section 12J fund, which you may recall was and provided incentives to high net worth individuals to fund growth companies, and it was very successful in doing that. So our first 20 million investment was made through that avenue, and now we are able to continue to build. So that got us the first three schools. Then we put in more capital to the fourth school. We're now in the process of expanding to seven schools. So it's really this fund, it's much larger. We are planning on deploying a more substantial amount, but it really is about extending our current investment strategy more so than replacing it.
Well, I mean, you're on this journey where you've effectively 10x'd from phase w or fund one to fund two. If you look at your final target here, what are you looking to ultimately target? I mean, first close here, you've got 475 million rand, a not insignificant slug of capital. What's the ultimate target?
We are able to very much deploy our investment strategy from, anywhere around the 1 billion mark. And we have current visibility with, very advanced investors that we expect will get us to that point. Many funds, have less flexibility in terms of where they finally want to settle because their investment strategy requires an initial, certain size chunk of capital. We can operate our strategy at 1 billion, but we expect that it could go all the way up to 1.7 billion, which would be $100 million approximately, give or take the day.
Now, I mean, that is just a phenomenal achievement, given when I often chat to LPs, how, particularly in the institutional space, there's some that really understand private equity well. Many pension funds are still on that long road of educating themselves and learning about private equity. And then, obviously, if you're looking to raise international capital, you've got to get through currency risk and volatility and political risk. I see largely you've raised funds locally, but what really stood out for you in this period of fundraising and hitting the road and telling people about the Sonari Capital story and the three S's?
So I think, probably two observations. The one, which I think is just enormously positive, and I think it's been very much an objective of the industry, but more the economy, which is to get pension fund capital invested in the real economy. So achieving not only financial returns, but also the social returns that come with developing communities, job creation, skills development, BEE, and the like. So we're definitely seeing, and you are spot on, this is not an area that has been, historically populated by a broad base of pension funds. Typically, it's been the usual suspects, two or three pension funds that have backed the private equity industry, but that is most definitely changing. And I think that is hugely important. It obviously ties into the regulatory changes around Reg 28 that has enabled pension funds to allocate more capital to unlisted and very much in support of the national agenda, right? So infrastructure investment, real economy investment. And I think that that is starting to show, Of course, you know, lifting limits doesn't necessarily mean that there will be more allocation to the asset class, which I then suppose goes to the second part of my observation, right? And as part of, you know, Reg 28, not only did they increase the allocations permissible for unlisted, but they also raised offshore allocations, which in today's environment actually presents a bit of a risk to the South African economy. But of course, you know, it is understandable because our economy has been very much X growth for a certain period of time. And I think that that's why one of the main messages that we had to answer, not only to international investors that are looking for, you know, globally competitive returns, but even to South African investors that are saying, look, you know, it's all well and good to support the local economy, but how do we support our members? How do we, you know, generate the returns that are competitive?
Yeah.
And that really goes to finding pockets of growth. And I think that that is the key. You know, our education investment has grown at a remarkable rate, even through COVID. I mean, and it's a very, very low income group that is the majority of our learner base. And notwithstanding the incredibly harsh impact of the early lockdowns, our schools managed to stay open, did online learning through some of the most remarkably innovative but low-tech means. And the following year, its enrollments went up by 25%. So, you know, we're able to achieve growth disconnected from the GDP of our environment. And similarly, our investments that are internationally focused, so we've got investments in companies like Lightway that has very much a foreign market for its the sensors that it locally designs, develops, and manufactures. And so again, creating opportunity, creating growth, and supporting our local environment with jobs creation and skills development, etc., but still achieving the growth and the returns. And that's been the big selling point of this fund in the difficult environment. And we believe that it is actually sustainable to pursue investments in these type of investment themes, as we call it, focusing on IoT, connectivity, big data, healthcare, food, green solutions, and education.
Fantastic. We're going to have to leave it there, Sam. That's all the time we've got for that was Samantha Pockroy, CEO of Sonari, talking about the first close of her 3ESG growth fund. And it's all about being sustainable, scalable, and saleable in the way that they look to execute the fund management strategy. You're listening to Classic Business.